So a few last haros from last week. We may just skip some points here, but basically the Rishonim all wanted to know in our sugya, the Gemara assumes that anything which is cut by a non-Jew for the Jew on Yom Tov is forbidden. Then the context of our Gemara is what happens if you're not sure, what happens if it's cut for one Jew, can another Jew benefit, and all that. But the assumption, if it's cut for you, so then you can't benefit. The problem is the Gemara on Daf Gimel, Daf Beis and Beis and Daf Gimel, have a gzera, Peres Hanoshrin, that any fruit that falls off a tree, even by itself, is usur. So you turn him and try to figure out, why do you need both? I mean, once it's usur, always. So what is our sugya even talking about? So we saw about five different answers last week. I don't know if I want to get into every point here, but let me raise one point, because this is what is important lehalacha. Yeah, this is from last week. We're just really towards the end, and then we'll get to the new one.
From last week?
From last week, sure. Okay. So just because I know we have a lot of people weren't here last week, so I'm not going to get back into it, but one of the differences that Tosa suggests is it depends on how easy it is to violate the malacha. When it comes or how enticing. So with fruit, where it's so easy to pick a fruit off a tree, and it's so enticing to take the fruit off the tree, so there, Paris and Ocean, any fruit, we have to forbid. But other malacha that are more complicated, that take more time, and therefore you'll have time to process before you get to it, or they're less moshech, or they draw you in less. So then we don't have to forbid always. We only forbid when the guy did it on your behalf. Now, in this context. Yeah, I'm going to skip some of them, but skip to 17, and this is just what I'll do. I'll skip the last answers
the
here.
Last week's
last week's, yeah, just the last source from last week. So this svara, right, that we're more machmir on things that are, it's just the end of last week's here, just the last, just 17. You can read the other ones yourself, but I think it's just going to be counterproductive for us to go back over everything. But this is actually something we saw, so I just wanted to remind ourselves of it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'd seen his tshuva about gas stoves. Right, so this is, I gave you the summary in 17. Right, Kaza Bigros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein itself. Bameshe nishal betanuri gas shalanu, kshaberes hagas patuach legamre, v'yevshar od lahagdila eish, imtarach blech l'shehiya. So Rav Moshe said, look, by our gas stoves, once the flame is as high as it goes, so do you need a blech? Because right normally the chash of a blech was that the reason you need a blech, you need to cover the flame, is because the Gemara's time you used to cook on an open coals, and therefore we were worried you would stoke the flame. So if you wanted to heat something up, you had to, on Renan Shabbos, even if you solved the Bishul Daraisa problems, you needed to cover the flame, Garufikatum, so that you wouldn't stoke the flames. So Moshe said, well, what about with ours? You turn the flame up to high, right? You're not going to fiddle it, it's as high as it's going to go, and you don't have to stoke anything, it stays consistent. Right, you can't make it bigger at that point. So first he said, we do, because it's a low plug, it's a rabbinic law that you need to cover the flame. That's the end of the story, it's a low plug. Fine. And he said, and I would add a gzera, because in the time of the Gemara, we were worried that you might stoke the flames to make it hotter. But we weren't worried that you would put it out, because it was a pain in the neck to really get that flame totally out. Because right, totally get that flame out, right? You have this pile of coals, you have to like pour water on it, because there's like embers hidden in. But for ours, we have the opposite problem. That once Tosas tells you that we're worried every time something is easy, so we may not be worried substantively that you're going to raise the flame, but turning the flame down is so easy, that, yeah, I think you need the Heker, he said it's worthy of making a new rabbinic gzera. V'rayim, mashakaz of Tosos, kan. And his proof is our Tosos. Devidavar, debay tircha lo gazrina, and debavadi iskor. If it's hard, we don't need a gzera, because you'll remember. L'fizim, v'chaba agaz. But if it's easy, then we would have a gzera. And that's why Ramosha says that even on a substantive level, it does make sense that we require you to have a blech. Okay, so the rest I'm going to leave off because it'll just get confusing. So let's just move to the new.
But a blech does make it harder to turn the valve.
Right, so that gets into a whole other discussion in whether the blech has to cover the knobs as well, right? Which is why many of the blechs cover the knobs. It's for that reason, because very quickly, right? There's two parts to the blech. One is the formal part, which is, as Ramosha said, Chazal say you have to cover the flame. You have to cover the flame. The second is the substantive question, which is the point of covering the flame was to make it harder for you to play with the fire.
Yeah.
The formal part of the gzeira applies to the top of the stove. The substantive part applies to the knobs. And the reason that many blechs, you know, have the double, right, the cover of the knobs and the cover of the top, is to solve both problems, the formal and the substantive problem. Yes. Okay.
And they only discovered that in the 80s, right? Before that, knobs were not an issue. Because the old blechs basically just cut out a piece of tin, stuck it on the stove, and that was it. That's all we used.
Right, and if you and the and there are a lot of posts going to say that's fine because they think it's purely formal. But if you ask me, it makes a lot more sense to cover the knobs and not the top of the flame than vice versa, right? Yeah. It makes much more sense to cover the knobs, right? Halachically, than the top, right? This is not the same. There are minhage toes in this world.
To raise and lower the flame, you have to look at the flame. So if you don't see what you're doing,
yeah, maybe right.
Where you could play with the wood.
No gas. They like gas for a long time.
Yeah. Anyways, the reason that many poskim suggest having the double cover, you know, the top and the side, is to deal with those problems.
We still work in the 1950s. We just have a plain sheet on top of it.
Right. So if I had a blech, which I don't do because I just use a hot plank, it's just easier. Yeah, right. I would cover the knobs. I mean, I would also cover the top.
Right.
To be Mahmir, yeah. But Maker Adin, I think it's more important, personally, I think it's more important to cover the knobs than the top. I understand that Ramosha doesn't agree with what I just said. Okay. That's not the point, right? My personal opinion, not lahalacha. Again, I'm a Talmud of Rai Willig. So Rai Willig is just like, hey, just get a hot plate and everything's easy.
Well,
so that's what I do.
What?
I don't have knobs. I get the knobless hot plates. That's exactly what I do. I get a knobless hot plate.
Your hot plate.
Yeah. That's exactly what I do, and it is that is exactly it. Exactly what I do. Like everything else we have. Okay. Sure.
I don't remember what you said about it, but didn't we have that in order to remove this gas, we had to have the water boil over in the gas?
Right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Blech is on Shabbos for not right. Yom Tov, we're talking about.
Okay.
That was the Mechaba. That was the Mechaba discussion. This is the Darabanan question. Okay, fine. Now Kadeshi Yasa. So let's move on to the new sugya. So here's the okay. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara tells you that one, two, three, four, five lines from the bottom of the page on Chav Dalman base. So the Gemara says, "Vamai karu amarav papa hilchas anachri shevi daran liyisrael biyom tov imiyish meos amin b'mechubar asur." Ulerev nami asurin b'chdeisha yasu. The halacha is that if a non-Jew brings a gift to a Jew on Yom Tov, so if that thing, if there is some of that still attached to the ground, so then it is asur to benefit because we assume that he cut it on Yom Tov, etc. And not only is it asur to benefit it on Yom Tov, but it's asur even motzai Yom Tov b'chdeisha yasu. Right, so what is Bechdesh Yasu? We'll see the specifics, but Bechdesh Yasu basically means that not only do you have to wait from till the end of Yom Tov, you need to wait the amount of time that it would take to cut it on Motzai Yom Tov or Motzai Shabbos, so that you don't benefit from the malacha that was done on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And by making you wait that time, right, now you haven't benefited from the fact that it was done on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Right, it takes half an hour, so we make you wait half an hour until after Shabbos, and then you are allowed to benefit. Then the Gemara gets into some of the details, which we'll come back to, which relate to Sveikum. But that's the question I want to deal with, because that question is extremely complicated, right? That one question is extremely complicated.
But how long you wait? Then?
Yes. What does it mean you wait? Yes, you see that Rashi and that Tosfos, right? So this source sheet looks shorter than it is because I cheated. I put Rashi Tosfos at the beginning, right? That's before you get anywhere, you've got to do Rashi and Tosfos. I remember doing this in high school, and like, you know, this is one of those. This is just one of those Rashi and Tosfos. I think I did this for Reichman. I used to give shiur on Fridays on the third parak of Beitza when I was in 11th and 12th grade. Anyways, so the Gemara says as to the halacha, if a non-Jew does malacha for you on Yom Tov, so you can't benefit from it, not on Yom Tov and not till after Yom Tov. So, the Rishonim have many questions about this. So, one question they have, and this is the question Rashi and Tosos deal with, is La'erev b'chtei sheyasu. So when is La'erev? What night? Right, what night are we talking about? Let's say it's a two-day yantif, right? You're in Chutz Laretz, and the guy brings you a present on Monday morning, and that's the first day of yantif. When would you say you are allowed to eat the stuff? Monday night, meaning it right the beginning of the second day yantif, or Tuesday night after yantif entirely?
Monday night for sure.
I'd say Tuesday night.
Oh, good. Baruch Hashem. So why would you say Monday? Why would you say Tuesday? Good. Don't worry. One is Rashi, one's Tosfos. Right? What?
To separate the Yom Tov, not the Yom
Tov. Right, so you'd say, well, this is a formal halacha, right? And it, right, so since it's a, now, we'll tease it out. Right, you'd say, look, technically, either Monday is Yom Tov or Tuesday is Yom Tov. They're not both Yom Tov.
Right.
And therefore, even though it's true that on the second day of Yom Tov, we treat it as Yom Tov, halacha, at a fundamental level, they can't both be Yom Tov. And therefore, if the Isser is, you can't benefit from something that was done on Yom Tov, by the time the second day of Yom Tov rolls around, Mamanav Shach. Right? Either yesterday was Chol, and now is Yom Tov, right? Or yesterday was Yom Tov, and now it's Chol, so you just wait B'chtei Sheyasu. Right? Okay. Right? That's going to be Rashi. Right? Why would you say wait till Tuesday night?
Because it's fake out of Yom, obviously. And you don't know which...
Okay,
you have to wait until the Chumrah, I'd say, you know.
So one is just say, okay, they're both Yom Tov. Right? What?
You could say Sveika. Yeah.
Right? So one would just say, look, we treat them both as Yom Tov. Yeah. Why else? Why else would you say you have to wait until the.
It's Knas.
Because it's Marasayan.
It's Knas, right? Meaning.
It's also Marasayan.
In Marasayan for what?
You're in the house.
Yeah, because, you know, you're eating something that you really shouldn't be eating. I mean, if you wait, do it on the second day. I mean, it looks like you're eating something that's...
I mean, the guy did it, so it's right, you know, it's... Maybe?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I mean, but the general approach, that it's a Maris Hayin Kanas approach, right, yeah. Seems to be right. Meaning, what Alan's approach, that it's Mutter, even on the second day of Yom Tov, is saying, look, this isn't about you benefiting, like you... This is about, did you benefit from Melechas Yom Tov? And because of Shrek of the Oma, you didn't. Right, by the time you get a second day, Mamanav Shach, you didn't. But there's a much more sort of mundane way of looking at this, which is, no, we don't want you to benefit from what the guy did, because then you might end up asking him to do it, or something like that. So what do? We say, wait until you could do it yourself.
Right.
Because if we make you wait till when you could do it yourself, you won't end up asking the guy, because you won't get any benefit out of asking the guy, because we're forbidding it until after Yom Tov. And if that's the case, it doesn't help, right? No fancy lumdus, right? First day on the second day on the, we have to wait until you could do it yourself, right? And therefore, you have to wait till when you can do malacha. Now, that question is going to relate to another question, which we'll see in the Rishonim, which is, how much time is B'chadei Sheyasu? So, what do you think, right? There's two very different ways of looking at B'chadei Sheyasu, right? How much time do you need to wait? So, let's take a scenario, and then we'll see the two different, right, the two possibilities. There is, your guy brings you an orange. How long does it take to pick an orange?
Am I near the tree or not?
That's exactly the point. picking the orange. The malacha is, I don't know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, not even, whatever, depends what, whatever, 5 seconds, I don't know, right? What if the orchard is a mile outside of the, out of where you, you know, away from where you live?
What if you can't get to it?
Oh, you can't get to it or whatever, right? What's b'chdei she'asu? Is b'chdei she'asu the amount of time it takes to technically perform the malacha? Or is b'chdei she'asu the amount of time, in fact, you, it would take you to go, get to that tree, pick that orange, and get it?
In other words, is it subjective or objective?
Exactly. In other words, is it the or is it objective, meaning how much time does it take for the malacha to be performed?
Yeah.
Or is it, we are practically, right, subjective to you, trying to dissuade you from benefiting from the guy. And therefore, it's not a question of how long does it technically take. It's how much did you benefit from the guy? You benefited an hour travel time plus harvest time. So you have to wait the amount of time, right? We don't make you actually go out to the tree, but we make you wait as long as you could, right? It would take you to actually get there, right? Now, those two questions ostensibly are related. Right? Again, is it a formal question? Am I benefiting from malach on Yom Tov? If it's a formal question, you say, look, it takes 5 seconds to cut the to pick the orange. So 5 seconds after Yom Tov, at this point, the malacha, right, could have been done Motzei Yom Tov. It's done. If you think no, this is a practical way of dissuading you, so then we have to wait the amount of time, or we might have to wait the amount of time it takes you to actually get there. So these are the machlokot we're going to see in the Rishonim. Yeah.
Third possibility.
Yeah.
If you believe that it's to dissuade. Not necessarily to pick an orange from that specific orchard for the time it would take you to get to at orchard.
Correct. So it could be that it would be, right, to do anything similar, right? We can come up with middle types of positions, and we'll see that we've shown him try to play with all of these. So that is the, I don't know how much far we're going to get farther past, yeah, Rashi and Tosfos, yeah, but Rashi and Tosfos.
Do we agree as to the reasons, at the end of the day, why it's usher to eat what a goy picks for you, which without, or what take brings you without,
no,
your knowledge or without your requirements? We haven't even agreed.
We haven't even agreed on that. And that may be part of the machloka. So, right. But since you bring it up, before I read Rashi, I'll throw it out. Okay. Why is it usher to benefit from what a goy did for you? So we raised like five different reasons, yeah, last week, but yeah, let me change the question a little bit. Let's say you actually ask the guy straight out, Amir Lenachri. Right. Why is it usher for you to benefit? Why are you not allowed to ask a guy to do something for you on Yom Tov? Shabbos.
Because your average is working for you.
What?
Because your average is doing malacha for you on Shabbos.
Okay, so one possibility is shlichos. That's what Rashi says, right? The other possibility is
anything a guy does for you.
Is usher because?
Because you shouldn't benefit from
it. Why?
Because it says in the Sefer Devarim.
Because you, well, you did ask him to do it. Right, you did ask him to do it, but why is that usher? Right, it's not that you'll ask him to do it; is that you might end up doing it yourself. Meaning once, right?
That's the only reason.
Meaning it makes Shabbos more kal. Right, once you have people around, right, once you've gotten used to always having hot food on Shabbos cooked because you have a guy cooking it for you, you know your cook gets sick. Right, meaning if you create a culture where people are benefiting from malacha consistently on Yom Tov. Right, that makes it easier. This, right. It's a slippery slope. Now there are different versions of this, right? It might lead you to do it, or it makes malacha kal, right? It just makes malacha cheap in your eyes. Or there are different sort of variations on it. But as we'll see, some suggest, and maybe that's part of the machlokas we're going to see, because if you think it's about shlichus, right? If you think it's about shlichus, meaning the reason I can't have a guy do something for me is because I can't have a guy do something for me, right? It's as if I'm doing it. So then you would say, okay.
Taking the screen position.
Well, this is interesting. What position would you take? You might take specifically the more formal position because you'd say, look, the problem is that I performed the prohibited act. But by the time the second day of Yom Tov rolls around, I didn't do a prohibited act, manavshach, or I did, but it's over, it's done. Right? If you think that it might lead you to do malacha, that's why Amir Lenachri is a problem, so then it's a practical question, right? Whenever you can't do it, you can't do it. We'll see that. So,
yeah.
First of all, the lumdas here is fascinating. The second thing that's fascinating are the sugya, and we don't have time to sort of. Yeah.
Another reason why I'm real enough, please.
Yeah, we have many other. Okay. These are some, right? These are two, three. I've given you three,
I don't know,
right?
Maybe it's, but
If you let a goy do anything for yomtiv, you destroy yomtiv. You can get right, so, you can go through a whole yomtiv without keeping yomtiv.
Correct. So the Rambam may say something like that. The Meiri seems to say something like that. There are positions that say things like that. Like I said, so that's...
But that would be the
correct. When I learned it with Rosenzweig, he had like four possibilities, right? Either it's Shlichos, Lechumra, which is Rashi, or it's you might end up doing it, which is Tosfos, or... The way he understood the Rambam is either it makes Shabbos kal, or it's some sort of shvush Shabbaton type thing, and, you know, different sort of variations on that.
But this particular range of potential reasons why not is particular to Yontif.
No, this is Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif.
I mean, does it say, you know? You can't
have right, but here we're not talking about your Eved, right? Meaning, your Eved is a different problem.
If you ask somebody to do it for right, you, so I would have thought that would have catch, that would have caught you.
That's a contract worker.
Right, so technically Eved, right, so we assume Eved really means Eved. But, I mean, that seems to be sort of what Rashi's getting at. L'chumra, right, that's how we treat, you know, everybody, right, as they're doing it on your behalf. There is a smog that goes in that direction that says it is a function. The smog implies that a mural is actually daraisa, right? Based on all these psukim, or that you can't have malacha done, right? From all those things, we don't pass like the smog. You're right that is yet another possibility. The Beis Yosef actually quotes the smog. He rejects it, but he actually quotes that smog. You're right. There is, you know, a good four or five different variations on why it's usser. Now,
but do you make that? I mean, I don't want to flog it, but. I mean, if you make the argument making Shabbos easier, I mean, we do everything to make Shabbos easier for us. You know, lights, you know, light timers.
And Moshe didn't like that either.
And Eruv and you know, there's so many things
like that either.
Shabbos mode on your appliances.
And to be fair, some of them might be problematic. But in general, it's not making it easier. It's making it malach. No. The problem isn't making it easier. The problem is making malacha too much a part of your life, right? Now, the question of Shvisa's Kalim is, right, is part of this, but we don't pass them as a problem with Shvisa's Kalim. We pass them like Beis Hillel against Beis Shammai. We do pass them, there's a problem with having Goy do it for you, right? Automatic is different. But things that are not automatic are problematic. I mean, you can't have a Goy do it. You can't, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get used to the argument. You get used to it doing away, and then if okay, so your Shabbos clock's not working, and you're used to having lights, so you're going to turn on the light.
Right. At some point, Yeshua is a gvul, but that is it's a concern. Look, Rav Moshe didn't love timers, partially because of a lot of these reasons. Okay. The one more thing that before we sort of dive into Rashi here that I'll mention is. I went back and forth on whether to actually spend time on it, but we'll spend only a little bit of time on it. One of the things you actually see in this sugya, which is fascinating, which you don't often see, is we know that Rashi doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? This is sort of obvious, right? Rashi wasn't just born Rashi. He learned in a Beis Medrash. He had teachers in, early German, Franco-German world.
Right.
But we don't normally hear from them, right? Rashi is just Rashi.
Yeshiva Mainz.
Yeah, the Yeshiva Mainz. Exactly. We don't normally hear from him. Here, for some reason, Rashi lifts the veil, and we actually do hear about it. And you find out that this machlokas is a very old one, and Rashi has a whole deal, and we'll see this in Rashi, but that's one of the fascinating things about this whole sugya. So, Rashi at the bottom. Erev asur mechdei sheyasu. So, Kidei shelo yehene mimeleches yomtov. Right, we don't let you benefit until enough time has passed that you haven't benefited. Right, you could have done it on yomtov, so you don't benefit from melech on yomtov. V'hadi ka'amar le'erev asurim mechdei sheyasu halacher ken mutarim. That which we say that at night it becomes it's usher until the night, and then it becomes permitted. So Rashi says like Alan afil erev risho nami. This means Motzai, the first Yom Tov, on Yom Tov Sheni. Afa gav delel Yom Tov Sheni hu. Even though it is Yom Tov Sheni, mamtem gdei sheyasu mutarin. Mimanef shach. Right? It's mutter either way. Mamadav shachwai imalayla cholhu harehimtin bechleshiyasu. If tonight, meaning the second night of Yontif, is in fact not Yontif, so then it is a weekday and you've waited enough time. V'im kodeshu, and if it is Yom Tov, nimtza shenokadu b'chol. Then when you cut it, it was Erev Yom Tov. V'chein dati note, that's what I think. V'yeshli ra'ayot harbei, and I have many proofs. So what are his proofs? So, me'ahu bartavya de'iruvin, u'mibetza shenoldu b'zeh, mu'terit b'zeh, he has two proofs. Right, so I gave them to you on the page. Right, one is the Gemara on Daf Dalid in Beitza, which is the egg case, and this is what Alan was alluding to, where the Gemara said Itmar. Right, if you look in the sheet, I put the Gemara here, the two Gemara he quotes just to spell it. Rashi, he says Itmar Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Goliot Rav Amar Nolda Bazeh Muteret Bazeh V'Rav Asar Nolda Bazeh Asur Bazeh. Right, on two days of Yom Tov. So what happens if you have an egg which is born on Yom Tov? So Rav says it's Asur on the first day, but it's permitted on the second day of Yom Tov. And Ravasi says it's Asur for 2 days. And Lema Kasav Ravasi, Kedusha Achasi, does that mean that Ravasi thinks that the 2 days of Yom Tov are treated as one long day of Yom Tov, and that's why it's still forbidden? Ravasi Mavdol Miyomatav L'Chabrei, but Ravasi used to make Havdalah between day one and day two. So the Gemara says, Ravasi spoke of Isapkalei, V'Avid L'Chalachomra, V'Chalachomra, we're machmer in both directions, but we paskin by, right, he says, so Rashi says, but he's paskining like Rav. Right, and Nolda Bazeh Muteret Bazeh. That if it's born on the first day of Yantif, it's Muter on the second day of Yantif, because Mamad of Shach. The question is, did you benefit from Yom Tov or not? And the answer is, right, according to Rav, by the second day, Mamad of Shach, you didn't. Because either the first day was Chol, and therefore it was totally permitted, or the first day was Yom Tov, and now it's Chol. But either way, right, both days can't be Yom Tov. So Rashi, Paskins like Rav, invokes this position of Rav, and says, therefore you see that we take a formal approach to this. Right? Did you or did you not benefit from Yom Tov? By the second day, Mamad of Shach, you didn't. His second proof is the Gemara in Erevin Lamentetam and Beis through Memamad Aleph, which is number 3. Harhu Bartavia Dasa Levei Reish Kalusa De Itzit Biyom Tov Rishon Shel Golias. Right, there was this, right, one of these cases, right, the guy brought something to the Reish Kalusa, right, to the Exilarch, something that had been hunted on the first day of Yom Tov. V'ishtachet Biyom Tov Sheni, and he shechted it on the second day of Yom Tov. Rav Nachman Rav Chisda Achlu, Rav Sheshes Lo Achal. Rav Nachman Rav Chisda ate it, and Rav Sheshes didn't. So Amar Rav Nachman, my Avid Leil Rav Sheshes Lo Achal Bisra D'Tavia. So they tried to figure out why did Rav Sheshes think it was Asur. So the Gemara goes through many different possibilities, but the end, the Gemara says that after the ellipsis, Amar Rav Ashi L'Didi Amar Li'Ameimar Ahu Bar Tavia Lav Itzu De Itzer El Michutz L'Tchumah. So this wasn't a question of having been hunted; it came from outside the Tchum. Man Da Achal Savar Haba Bishvil Yisrael Zeh Mutter Yisrael Acher. The one who thought that it was permitted to eat thought that once something is brought for one Jew, it's permitted for another Jew.
Was Bartavia Jewish?
What? I don't think so. Uman de lo achal, but we'll get to that question. We're going to get to the question of Jews. We haven't gotten there yet. Uman de lo achal, the one who didn't, savar called asi, the veirish galusa, adaita de kulu rabban asi, that anything that's brought to the house of the exilarch was brought on behalf of everybody. Right? And therefore, anybody who's in the house, it is actually brought for them. So Rashi points to this Gemara. Right, and Rashi says that... What? Yeah. So Rashi's... You need another one. Okay. Here. Sorry. Okay. So Rashi says that what you see, right, this, you know, Gemara seems to be dealing with the same Shaila. He said, by the second day of Yom Tov, assuming it wasn't brought for you, right, the Gemara says it's mutter. Right? The machlokes was it considered having been brought for him? But assuming it wasn't actually brought for you, the Gemara assumes that it is going to be mutter. So he says, you see, that again, right? He derives from here that by the second day of Yom Tov, assuming it wasn't brought for you at least, it is permitted. Now, Tosfos is going to push back on these. But this is Rashi's Gemara. So
it was bought for you. Why shouldn't he be able?
So that's actually the continuation of our Gemara, so I'm going to hold off on it for a little bit because that's the next half of the sugya. Every line, every word in the Gemara is our Gemara, right? Right. Then the Gemara gets into you, right? That's the top of the next amud, which is above Shvi Yisrael Zeh Mutl Yisrael Acher. But the
is that because the Goy didn't bring it for you, so it's okay.
Yes, and that's the question. But that's the next trick we're going to have to deal with. But we'll hold off on taking up that question.
So
the Gemara is not getting to Reish Galusa, right? The Gemara is getting to Rav Sheshes. What does Rav Sheshes think? Exactly. But Reish Galusa, the assumption is it would be Osir. Right. So Rashi then says, V'lo zachiti lish'ol et pi Rabbi Yaakov b'davar zeh. I didn't get a chance to ask my Rebbe about this, right? Rebbe Yaakov.
Which one?
Right? This is, I assume this is Rebbe Yaakov ben Yakar.
Could be right? Moshe Darshan.
Well, not Rebbe Yaakov. Rebbe Yaakov can't be Moshe Darshan. Rebbe Yaakov, I assume it's the Rebbe ben Yakar, right? His two Rebbe, he has a few Rebbe, Moshe Darshan and Rebbe ben Yakar, right? So I think this is Rebbe ben Yakar. So he says, so I didn't get a chance to ask my Rebbe, ki ayu nogim bo heter bimkomeinu. But this was, the minhag in Mainz was to permit it. V'hayeli davar pashut. So to me, it was just obvious that it should be permitted, because that's what everybody did. Ul'achar p'tiraso shel Rebbe, but after my Rebbe died, shamati es Rebbe Yitzchak Halevi, I heard from Yitzchak Halevi, shehu oser ad lom matzah yom tov sheni. That he waited till the second. The cholan sheiro kmoso, and his whole city was machmir like him. The gam halachos gedolos osrim, and then I heard that the halachos gedolos is osir. Whoever wrote the halachos gedolos, right? We don't even know, but right, could be the Bahag, right? It is the Bahag. Who is that? Yeah. Meaning the Bahag could be Rabbi Yudaigon, it could not be Rabbi Yudaigon. It is the Bahag. That I know it is. The halachos gedolos written by the author of the halachos gedolos. That's a tautologist, but we don't know exactly who it is. But whoever it is,
was in Worms.
Whoever it is, Vidanti Lifanov, and I asked him, Vilo Hoili Hadavar, but it didn't help. Vikol Tamo Eino Elamidinaka Bidich Shayasu, Belaila Ruya Lasia Kamar. But he told me, what does he think? Like, right, Maris, it doesn't mean when formally it's Yom Tov, it's you need to wait till you could practically do it. Va'ani omer tzarach lahamtin mechdei sheyasu mishum shema yom hayakodesh v'alai l'chol. I think it's not a practical question, it's a formal question. Is it kodesh, is it chol? I have to wait till a time when it could be chol. V'teida, I'll prove it. Midelo ka'amar le'erev shel sheni asurim mechdei sheyasu. We never said the second night. It says le'erev harishon. It says le'erev, which I read as le'erev harishon ka'amar. Uvechuvos Rabbeinu Gershom Moragola Matzati Kimosi, and I found that Rabbeinu Gershom agreed with me. Gam Ata Boy Lai Michtav Migarmais Sheba L'Sham Adam Gadol Zakein V'Yoshev B'Shiva Min Roma Ushmo Rabbi Kalonimus, and I heard Rabbi Kalonimus. Right, these are like the Kalonimites. This is like the Mamish, the old school in Germany. Ubaki B'Chalashas. He was a right? He was a big Talmud Chacham. That he paskined, right? That it was like me, and they argued. Right? So he tells you that this is a Machlokas L'Dore Doros in Germany, right? This was the Minag that I knew about, but I didn't get a chance to ask my Rebbe to defend it, and then there was someone who was Machmir, but then I found that Rebbe Gershom was like me, and then I found that the Kalonimites were like me, but there were people who were arguing, right? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? So if you ever want to, you know, these are like the times when if you are interested in sort of like medieval Jewish intellectual history, yeah, right? These are like the Rashis you go to, because suddenly you see, who did Rashi care about? And the answer is he cares about his Rebbeim, he cares about Rabbeinu Gershom, he cares about the Kalonimus family, he cares about, right, certain key people in Germany and even Rome. Right? Yeah?
Why don't we have the concept that we said before, that there's no hafzeh, we're mafmer on the Rabbanan in those cases, because it will be mutar at a certain point in time, and we're just mafmer and it's after the second day.
Like, no, that's no, the question of Davar Sheshel Matirin is by Safek, right? Rashi is asking, what is the nature of this Gzeira?
We're having a suffix whether
It's not a suffix. He's saying
using it.
No, he's saying it's a vada. He's, when Chazal said it was usher, what did they say is usher? Right. This isn't a suffix question. He just says what's the answer. When they said it was usher, what did they mean? Right. Until now, we've dealt with sfeikos. Right. But he said this is not a suffix. Chazal said if it's definitely cut by a non-Jew, it's usher. The only question is, what do they mean usher? Until tonight, right? Meaning the end of the first day, beginning of the second day, or until the second day. And he said, he tells you, what is the machlokas? The machlokas is, do you have to wait till a time when it's clear from a formal perspective you aren't benefiting from Yom Tov, because either today's Yom Tov and tomorrow's not, or vice versa? Or is it a practical question? Right? Now, let's skip for a moment. Just, you know, why would they argue like this? So again, we raised a few possibilities. I gave you one here at number 5. The Daf HaLaDaf quotes it from some guy in the Kovitz Or HaMizrach. I don't know who wrote it, but whatever. It's a good svara. He says as follows. Be'er pluktasam hu. Dirashi l'taimei azil. Rashi is following his own position. Because as we mentioned, Rashi holds the sphere le'damir la'akum asur mishum shlichus. Rashi, not always in Shas, but at least sometimes in Shas, thinks that Amir L'Nachri is Asur because of Shlichus L'Chumra. That it's if you ask a guy to do something for you, it's as if you did it. But L'Chein Shaper, Amri N'Hachma Manav Shach, Kumoda Kaimelon, Beitzah Shinoldo Bazem Utarit Bazeh. Hachanamri, Dal Karchach, Echad Men Shnei Yomim Ma'ilu Huchov, L'Chein Mutar B'Yom Tov Sheini. Taima debaych de shiyasa das Rashi, whom Mishum Disfele, the whole Maise Shabbos, Nami Tzarach Bade Shiyasa. And Rashi says, look, and now this is going to lead to yet another machlokas, so hold on to this for a minute, but different question. What if you violated Shabbos and did something b'isser? When does it become mutter? So Rashi holds that it never becomes mutter until Kadesha Yasu. You have to wait till after Yom Tov. Even in cases where it ever becomes mutter, it becomes mutter le'erev, this is Rashi l'shitaso. So what they argue here is, wait a second, Rashi has two positions. One is, if a Jew violates Yom Tov or Shabbos, you have to wait until Motzai Shabbos, b'chdei she'yasu. And Rashi also thinks that Amir l'Nachri is Asur because it's shlichos. It's as if you did it. He's your agent. So he said, just combine the two shitot. Rashi says, if a Jew violates Shabbos, you can't benefit from the malacha until after Shabbos with enough time to perform the malacha. And Rashi thinks that Amir l'Nachri is also because it's if a Jew did it. So therefore, he applies the same rules here, but it's a formal question. Meaning, you have to wait until a time where it is technically chol, and you Chadesh Asur is passed. This is Rashi l'shitaso. And that's who understands Rashi. Ach.
If that's revolting to Rashi's... Rashi holds it this guy is a shaliach for it as if he did it. So he's not allowed to do malacha.
Correct. And Rashi thinks that even when a Jew does it, right, it becomes mutter on...
He passes like Rav.
You know, on at night, b'chdei she'yasu. Again, we're going to come down to the exact...
Wouldn't he have to wait till the second night?
No, he passes like Rav.
No. So that's what we'll see in number 9 when we actually get to the sugya. So I'm skipping to that. But... You need that piece of information. We're going to come back to this question of whether this is actually true for a Jew or not. The Rambam thinks not, and that's what we'll see. Ulam atosvos, but this is the other position Rashi quotes. Yesh lomer desfir le'damir la'akum asur mishum gzeira, k'das a Rambam. Uvachal, it's not true the Rambam actually says that, but Tosvos definitely says this, that it's a gzeira. That simply, we don't want you to, right, end up doing it yourself. And if you're telling a guy to do it, you might end up doing it yourself, so we just dissuade you.
Isn't that ironic, though? It's more machmer than Shabbos itself.
Yes. And the Rambam is going to hold this, because the Rambam is going to hold you don't need Kadesh Yasu for a Jew, you only need Kadesh Yasu for a non-Jew, because that's where there's a concern. That it's specifically a non-Jew that things are more machmer, because we're so worried, because it's so kal, because people take it not seriously. But he says, he said, look, if it's a practical argument, don't tell a guy to do something, because if you tell a guy to do something, you might end up doing yourself. What's the best way to ensure that you won't end up doing yourself? If we tell you, you can only benefit when you actually could have done a beheter. So it's not a question, formally, Yom Tov, not Yom Tov. It's a simple question. At what point could you have performed this malacha? If we make you wait till then, you will have no incentive to tell a guy to do it because we're going to forbid it for anyways until when you could do it. But then, it's not a question of formal Yom Tov, it's a question of when could you do it? The answer is, after Yom Tov Sheni, because you can't violate Yom Tov Sheni. Who cares? Safek, Vadai, doesn't matter. Right? The fact is, you can't benefit. And that is how he understands the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which I think is a nice, elegant way of it. There are other ways we could do it. But let us look at Tosfos himself. So Tosfos, right? If you thought Rashi was long, Tosfos is a bit longer than that.
This is how Levi was in Worms, right?
Was in, sounds right.
He says his city, which he obviously was not Maine.
I think so. I have to look it up again. I have to look it up, but that sounds right. Okay. Now Tosfos doesn't like this at all. So Tosfos says, Perish Rashi, Kadei Shir Lekitasan, and then he quotes the whole thing. What da 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 da. So now skip down to he just quotes Rashi in full. So skip down to, you see where it says Vehiksha? It's exactly parallel to the Gemara Mutaranheim, right? The two dots in the Gemara. But that's where that's the end quote. I mean, he literally just quotes all of Rashi. Yeah?
I?
What? It's like where the Gemara says V'almar Mutarim Haim, like the two dots in the Gemara.
Yeah.
So parallel to that, he says V'hiksha Hari. Right? That's where he finishes his quote of Rashi. Until then, it's just a quote of Rashi. Right? All the way. Yeah? It's like 15, 20 lines in. I mean, it's just a quote. So V'hiksha Hari. But Perish Rashi. So the re asked on Rashi, "Did Perish de lakach bin migleisha yasukuteshul yehena mehemelachas yom tov?" He said, "Okay." Rashi said the reason you need to wait is so you don't benefit from yom tov. Im kain hamavashel b'shabbes b'shogeg. If someone cooks on Shabbos by accident, amay yochal. Why are you allowed to eat it? Hanen emulechas Shabbos. Now we're going to come back to this question of whether this is true, right? So hold that thought. Elavada ein zatam, ela atam shema yomer lenachri leich velakeit. What we're concerned about is if we allow you to benefit from the guy, you might tell the guy to do it. We zatam asur man matzay yom tov achron b'kadesh yasu, and that's why it's asur until you could do it. Di amar d'mutar b'yom tov rishon matzay yom tov rishon chashin shema yomer lenachri b'yom tov rishon leich vavek kadesh yochol mehen b'sheni. So look, if we don't want you to ask the guy, so look. If we tell you, if the guy does it for you, you're allowed to benefit on the second night of Yom Tov, then you're going to ask the guy. Because you'll say, look, I'll ask the guy, he'll do it for me, and it'll be asur until tonight. But if I wait to do it, I'll have to wait two nights. So, great, I'll ask the guy. I won't be able to use it first day Yom Tov, I'll use it second day Yom Tov. If the point is we want to dissuade you from asking the guy, the only way to dissuade you from asking the guy is to make it that you didn't benefit from having asked the guy. That's it. It's a practical question. He says, "Umasha hevi Rashi raya mi beitza v'chula." He said that which Rashi brought a proof from beitza shenolda, right, the egg that's born on Yom Tov. It's a formal question that by the second night of Yom Tov it's mutter because either way you look at it, at this point both days can't be Yom Tov. He said yesh litchos osa dehasam nolda mei lemin hashamayim. When an egg is born, God made the egg be born. Therefore, it is a formal question. Meaning, did you benefit from Yom Tov or not? The answer is no. By night two, you didn't benefit from Yom Tov because either the first day was Chol, in which case, by the second day, you're benefiting from Chol, or the first day was Yom Tov and now it's Chol and you've waited enough time and now you're fine. Here, it's not a formal question, did you benefit? The question is, how are we going to dissuade you from asking a guy to do something when you shouldn't ask him? And the only way to do that is to say, you can't benefit until you could do it yourself. The gam raya shehevi mehu de tavya de iravin yeshomer de mayri shayu matzudas prusas mer of yom tov may love nitzodu. Said maybe the case in iravin is where someone didn't hunt it for the Jew, he just brought it. And that's the Gemara's conclusion anyways. It came michutz latom. No malacha was done for the Jew at all. And the halacha is that if a non-Jew does something for himself, and the only problem is tchum or muktzah, So then, is mukta. So then it becomes mutter on Yom Tov Sheni. Aval meviu b'shvili Yisrael min amuchuber asar matzah Yom Tov Sheni v'chlesh yasur. But in fact, he violated malacha for you. So then, it is asar until the end of the second day, with the amount of time it takes you to do it. V'im lav shein v'min amuchuber chotzotchum asur and chotzotchum utarin, etc. Okay, so let us, you know, let's not get into all the nuances that he gets in. He gets into some questions of Sveikos. This is also one of those Tosas where you see that everyone's getting involved. Or if you look down like 10 lines, he starts bringing in Rishmul of Evro, right? Or what it says here, Abira, right? Abra, but that's Evro. Just try spelling Evro in Hebrew, right? In English, as it is, it's impossible. Or it's E-V-R-A-U-X, right? Try spelling that in. Right? You've seen it probably, but it's Evro, right? Yeah. So, Shmuel of Evro. So, you really get everybody involved in this machlokas for some reason, right? Every base medrash. Evro is a weird, weird base medrash. The Balei Tosfos, it's one of these, like, middle Balei Tosfos ones. It's also Chassidei Ashkenaz. They're all mystical and all types of weird things going on. But the Re, right? The Balei Tosfos argue on Rashi, and say that it is that it is usher until after Yom Tov Sheni again. Why? So just to reiterate, and like I said, I said this Sur Sheet looks a lot longer than it is. It looks a lot shorter than it is because of the Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi's position is a formal position because Rashi thinks the problem here is we don't want you to benefit from malacha done on Yom Tov. In order to solve that problem, all we need is a formal solution. Namely, wait till second night. And by the second night, either the first day was Chol, in which case it happened Beheter, and the second day is Yom Tov, so, okay, fine. Or the first day was Yom Tov, you violated the Isser, and now you just wait B'Kedei She'asu, and now you're fine, just like you would be on a regular Shabbos, or a regular Yom Tov. Tosfos says, no. We only ask formal questions when there isn't a practical problem we need to solve, meaning the egg. We're not worried that you're gonna coax your chicken into laying the egg on Yom Tov, right? We're worried that on a formal level you benefited from something that happened on Yom Tov. But when it's a formal question, we say, look, by the time you get to the second day of Yom Tov, Mamanafshach, either the first day was Chol, in which case it was totally fine that it was born, or yesterday was Yom Tov, but now you've waited enough time and you're fine. But here, where it's asking a guy, it's not that we don't want you to benefit from the guy did simply because we don't want you to benefit from the guy did. We don't want to let you benefit from the guy did because we don't want you to ask the guy to do it. So Tosafot says, if it's a practical issue, then you have to wait a practical amount of time, which is, at what point will you not benefit from it such that you won't be motivated to do this? And like I said, the nafkamina that seems to hang on this, in addition to this nafkamina, is okay. Let me just see this one. Skip three lines down in the Rashba in six. The Rashba says, "What if the issur that was violated was chum? So how much time do you have to wait?" So he says, "V'yeshu pershu." This is the period in the middle of six. He says, "V'yeshu pershu makom karov l'tchum dainuchus l'alpaim amah dainuchum ha'ir." He said, "We make you wait the minimum amount. Right, if the isra that was violated was someone brought it in from outside the tchum, so then we don't ask where outside the tchum was it brought from. We say, okay, how long does it take to walk outside the tchum? 15 minutes. Then you have to wait 15 minutes." It doesn't matter if the actual orchard is 5-hour walk. I don't care. The question is, how long does it technically take you to get there? Ve'ena mechuber b'ena'i. He said, that doesn't make any sense to me. Shem kena dain yesh lachush. Shema yomar l'goy l'havilo k'dei she'i muchan lo achar shir zeh. So that doesn't make sense because if that's the case, you're still going to ask the guy because let's say it's a 5-hour walk. If you say, look, we'll only make you wait 15 minutes... then you still saved 4 hours and 45 minutes after Yom Tov Sheni. So you see yet another nafkamina, right? The Rashba says, look, if it's practical, we want to dissuade you from asking the guy, then what we have to do is make it that If the apple orchard is a 5-hour walk, then you've got to wait 5 hours. Meaning, how much time would it actually take you to get an apple?
Subjective.
It's subjective. If you say, no, this is a formal question, so you can have a middle position. You can say, look, we treat all of Yom Tov as one, right? But still, I mean, this is a middle position, right? That we don't allow you to do it on Yom Tov Rishon to Sheni. But once we wait to Yom Tov Sheni, it's still a formality, meaning technically, how much time does it take to do malacha, right? This is a middle position. You have three positions, right? You have the total practical one, which is you wait till after second day Yontif, the amount of time it actually takes you to do the malacha. Then you have the totally formal position, which is Rashi. You wait till Yom Tov Sheni, the amount of time to do the malacha. It doesn't matter that you can't do it today. It's a technical question. Can today and yesterday both be Yom Tov? The answer is no, you're fine. And then there's this middle position. You have to wait till the end of Yom Tov. But once we wait till the end of Yom Tov, we don't actually make you wait the time it takes for you to do it. Right? We mix formal and informal, right? We say you wait till the end of Yom Tov, totally, but only the amount of time it takes to do any malacha, right? To formally do the malacha, not the amount of time it takes you. Now, why you would create a middle position, we'll discuss next week. I'd love to discuss it now, but I really do have to get down to the Gudah. So we'll hopefully continue next week.